Blog Talk Radio.
The Ulu Cultural Centers, urgently needed worldwide. Stay with us. We'll be back to talk about them in a few minutes. Peace. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night program. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. We invite you to join our conversation tonight. We are here every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., and this is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join the conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you are on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage. Click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you'll be in the Blog Talk Radio website. My name is Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of Ulu. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you?
Peace, Sister. I'm fine, and I'm glad to be with the family again.
It's good to have you again, and you have brought up a very interesting subject. I would like to know, what inspired your call for Ulu Cultural Centers worldwide?
Yes, and thank you so much. And to answer that question, it's been a long, ongoing thing in my mind, and it happens in my mind every day because we are in a state of emergency war. Brutal war has been waged upon our people and has been for a very long time, and they're still a segment of our population around the world that don't really realize what I just said about the state of emergency and the urgency that we ourselves take corrective action. And to do that corrective action, which is urgent, we need to gather together and communicate. And as every second that goes by that we have not put in place Ulu cultural community centers is just a second that endangers us and puts us in at risk because if we don't immediately evolve as a group, our sanity and our survival is in extreme danger. And so with that said, just to give a few words about what is a cultural center. A cultural center is a focal point that strongly advocates our ways of thinking and living. And when I say our ways, another of one of the areas that has us in the predicament that we're in, we have, by way of being duped, tricked, deceived, bamboozled, that we from day to day follow the ways and thinkings of others. And we would achieve so much more and have so much more success when we go back to our ways, because our ways of thinking and living and looking at the world in our natural mind is not the same. Mm-hmm. And we're also dealing with, when I say natural mind, there's a segment of our population, again, around the world that are not in their natural mind. And it's just like today. And I had some computer problems today, and still, you know, my screen is frozen up with what I was going to send out. But in any case, as I said, we still have around the world African people that are not in their natural mind, and you could say that they are out of their African mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because there's something genetically wrong with us. And when I mention genetic, I've been saying to our people for years when it comes up in the right conversation, I ask them, do you think it's something genetically wrong with us? And the reason that I ask it, and I'm looking to see what their response is, that some of us have been so duped that we really think that there's something genetically wrong with us, rather than focus on that we're not practicing our cultures, our thinking, our spirituality, the whole 360 degree circle of life. Mm-hmm. And so the cultural center is a Ulu cultural centers that I feel that we should and we must as quickly as possible put in place in every area that we are located, because our people are in much need of the information that will come out and flow out of us when we come together in a circle to share the knowledge that they didn't teach us in history class. And you could pick this was like Neely Fuller's book, The Code System, talks about 9 areas of people activity, but we could add some more. But in all areas of people activity, we have been misguided intentionally. It's not an accident, and it's not genetic.
Right.
And go right ahead.
Good. The question I was going to ask is then, are you saying that everywhere that Ulu is, where we have the Ulu-based collectives, the first thing the collective should be focused on is a cultural center rather than another type of business, or would it be the two together? How do you envision that?
Yeah, I appreciate what you just said. Yeah, I envision it that everywhere that our people are, which is Ulu, is going to be putting that cultural centers in place for the benefit of our people. And actually, the cultural center on the large scale in terms of a brick-and-mortar facility. And I'm a Ulu member, and I've got one vote like all other Ulu members, and other Ulu members got some input on this subject, too. I'm just speaking from my mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
We need the Ulu Cultural Center. Well, let me start with in the development of Us Lifting Us inspiration by the original small number of elders and founders of Ulu. As they built the Ulu model, they had in place, they factored in and actually have a preliminary design of what was going to be the Ulu in terms of the many Ulu businesses that we will have. Our flagship model was going to be a huge building, you know, the size of a Walmart, you know, or Home Depot or something like that, 150,000 square foot. And the Ulu Cultural Center would be housed in there amongst the many other parts of the Ulu marketplace. And the Ulu marketplace would be vast. That would have many, many sections and workings, including bulk buying of food like you do in the health food store, clothing, consignments, also a donation center. We would have a place for farmers for fresh produce that black farmers that have difficulty in being able to sell their merchandise because others won't let them in to sell.
Right.
So we would be doing ourselves a big favor, big plus by having the Ulu marketplace available that the farmers can come to, as well as the fact that we can get that produce. We know who grew it. We know where it came from. And we are doing it's like having our own ecosystem. The farmers grow it. They bring it to the Ulu marketplace. We buy it, we consume it, we are nourished, and it's a plus for us in that area. But it would also include office space and then movie splash, entertainment theaters, and as I was striving to get to, the Ulu Cultural Center, centers. Yeah. And I was attempting to say earlier that it would be in every locality where we are. So just like in every locality where our people are, the plan all along when I mentioned the Ulu marketplace was to be in the various localities and whatever. And so whatever part of Africa, you know, various cities in the U.S., and so if it was Baltimore and Chocolate City or D.C. or Banneker City as called Richmond, Virginia, and Charlotte, North Carolina, we would have it because it's vital, it's necessary. It's a place that we come together as a focal point to strongly advocate for our thinking and living, in a place to gain knowledge and a vital place to gather in person and with this technology or by virtual means. And even though originally, we would have only been doing it by person, gathering live and in person, but we need to be receptive to taking advantage of the fact that we can reach out to Ulu members, and we have Ulu members across the nation and in the Caribbean and in African countries and Europe and Asia included. And so when we are doing the work of the Ulu Cultural Centers, they would be able to participate in that. And before I go any further, any questions or comments?
I don't see anyone with their hand raised on the board, but I am listening to what you're saying. Ulu has Chow Kiku, which is a virtual way of experience, you know, expressing what the Ulu culture is. And it sounds to me like the cultural centers that you are talking about, brick and mortar, are a way to put into practice the theories that are expressed in Chalkikuyu. Is that what your is that part of your thought?
Oh, absolutely. I love that you brought that forward. Thank you so much. Yes, that would fit right in. The Chalkikuyu Ulu University, that would fit right in. And we need it because every day when there's new developments, whatever it is, everything that happens on this planet, and certainly that involves us and the planet, we need to have a response of our own, not somebody else's worldview of how to respond to it, but our own. When we take on someone else's way of responding, well, either we just don't respond, but either both of them are not, it's not beneficial to us. And but yes, you're still right about, and also when you mentioned the Chalkikuyu, the Ulu University, I thought also going back to the Ulu marketplace and the brick and mortar. We need the brick and mortar for so many reasons, and among those was that every year, as Ulu members and Ulu members across, as I said, around the world, that have come from around the world, across the country and around the world, to our annual members meeting and convention, when we have own brick and mortar facilities like the Ulu marketplace, then we have our own auditorium and facilities and everything to have our Ulu annual members meeting and convention. And when we've got those here in whatever state, and we've got it in Africa and Senegal where Brother Madike is, we can go to Senegal. But we're going into our own place, a place where we own and control. And in the cultural centers, when we own and control, then we can go there and talk as much as we want about it, whatever we want, as long as we want, because we own and control, and we are the ones that open and close the doors. And so nobody is telling us that we've got to leave, you know, it's almost 9:30 and we got to go. You wouldn't be that way.
Go ahead.
Go right ahead. No.
No, I was going to say, nobody can tell us we can't say what we want to say.
Well, that's true. That's true. And we should, and see, we need to not to be limited on what we say. We need not to be limited about what we talk about. To ourselves, and a lot of us think, so I mentioned to a young brother a couple of summers ago, I said, we should be able to talk as a people about anything. And he looked at me and he said, anything? And he said, I said, yes, anything. He said, well, I don't know about that. I don't think we could talk about anything. I said, well, if we can't talk about anything, then it also leaves us vulnerable to what we don't know because we have not talked about it.
Absolutely.
And so if the original model and still a most effective model that also puts us in greater control rather than going and being in the presence of others and their way of dealing with wellness, when the sister is going to give birth, their way, which didn't, wasn't our way, is to get on the table and for the sister to spread her legs and throw them open.
And but operate against gravity.
Say it again.
I said, and operate against gravity.
There you go. See, we need to talk about what you just said in the Ulu Cultural Community Centers. You said operate against gravity. And but when our people have been deceived about this higher knowledge that you just expressed, or squatting as a way of allowing gravity to help ease the movement of the child through the birth canal, versus, as I said to a group of sisters some years ago, we were sitting at a table outside on some African-owned land, and I had a backpack, and I set the backpack on the table, and I said, imagine that you're going to give birth to a child. Child is this backpack, and what you've got to do is you've got to push it out of your body down this table. I said, but imagine if you squatted, and gravity, as you said, was working. And so there's so much, as you just brought up the gravity part of natural squatting for childbirth, but there's so much that a large segment of our people have no clue about that. And if you told them and they still couldn't, for what? You know, my people have been going to the hospital and let the other people inject you with epidurals and whatever else. And
exactly.
There's some better ways. And another thing that I would go right ahead.
No, I was going to say, do you want to take a music break right this 1 minute before you step into your next topic?
All right, yes, for a short break, yes.
Yeah, short break. So then, okay, we're back. Welcome back to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night weekly radio program, where we discuss taking control of the economic destiny of our people and how to do it. Before the break, Brother Thurman was explaining to us about cultural centers, why they're urgently needed worldwide. Everywhere that Ulu is, we should have a cultural center. So please continue, Brother Thurman.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much. And we can put our minds together and focus on so many things, and we could talk for hours about what needs to be discussed, what needs to be organized in the community centers, the places where we can gather and put our minds together in that circle would transform us to that higher level that we are capable of elevating to and making great achievements. And with this COVID thing, everything that developed concerning this COVID and the lockdown and the mask and everything, our people need to make sure that we have real clarity, not something somebody said, and we just took it and said, they said this, so we're going to do this without questioning. And so I think Brother Elder Neely Fuller in the Code System book says everything must be questioned. I don't care who says it. But if they say put on a mask, if you don't question it, then you don't know. If you don't have a mind that's open to everything must be questioned. And so if they tell you to put on a mask, question that. What's the value? And so this lockdown and going back to the brick and mortar, our people are by our nature social people. We really deep down inside, even when we've been confused, we really want to be around each other. And this lockdown is it's a mind control thing, and it's damaging the minds of our people that have taken that, and they stay away from each other. And then on the occasions, and they're going along with it, but they don't know that long in the short term and long term, there's going to be more and more signs of psychological and neurological damage to our people's minds from practicing a behavior of not communicating with each other. And then when we do pass each other out in wherever, their face is on lockdown. So now you can't appreciate their beautiful black self because they've hidden it. And then they also turn their eyes away, their gaze away. So they've got this lockdown, but it's working on behalf of the ones that orchestrated this, but it's working very much against us. And so what among the first things that we must do as a people, and this would happen, and it must be reinforced in our Ulu cultural centers, is to practice organized, calm, and effective ways to communicate first. And when I say first, we have forgotten how to come together and talk about, as I said earlier, anything, but also to be able to talk about anything and debate, question what the other person said, add to what the other person said after they stopped talking, and bring some higher knowledge that they didn't, or a greater level of clarity, but to practice that would become normal again for us to talk about anything, for us to challenge what you and the rest of the family to challenge or to add to what I left out, but no argument. So we got to put a stop to being able to be calm. And so the ancient African said long ago, and it's still vital, still relevant today, and that is, when you have mastered calmness, you have mastered one of the keys of life. But when you can master calmness, you can sit still. When you've mastered calmness, we can sit and listen to the other sister, other brother in the circle while they're talking. And when they finish, then listen to what they say, but not this thing, oh, no, Sister Q, you don't know what you're talking about. not this. We got to get away from that so that we can get and allow the deeper thoughts that's in us. It's in us all. There's all kinds of knowledge within us, and we've got to. The mind has been deceived, but to a great degree, it's like a water faucet, and the faucet has been turned on, and we got to help each other to turn it back on so that we can be back in love and back in strive with each other again. But we've got to listen to hear. We got to enforce that first, because then, as Malcolm said, you know, leave your other stuff outside of the room before you come into the circle so that we can strictly focus on what we're going to do to solve and rectify whatever the issues are currently and whatever still residue from the past. And also we've got a serious need to nurture our people in being accustomed to higher knowledge. Because if we're not focusing on that higher knowledge, and so it's just like ancient Africans, and there's still some Africans that still participate in conversation that would be called African deep thought. And it's just another higher level of thinking and higher level of clarity, which also causes you to be a higher level being in all of your behaviors. And
well, Brother Sam, so, we have a couple of hands up, so I'm going to take some comments and questions here, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Or even.
Okay.
okay, caller from 7204, please state your name, where you're calling from, make your question or comment, please.
Yes, good evening. This is this is Deborah from Richmond, Virginia. How y'all doing tonight?
Fine, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm okay. I'm just fine.
Welcome.
yeah. I just wanted to say that this, excuse me for 1 second. I just want to say that this COVID thing, we really were divided before that. This is just, in fact, some people are enjoying this quiet because they're not ripping and running, they're spending more time with each other. But this COVID thing, we just been so divided before this even came. A lot of things that we were made to divide. We had the South against the North, and you know, you got people who are religious against us, and you got all these different divisions that was already out there. And if we have these centers that you're talking about, it would be beautiful because we could spend all the different people, you know, can spend more time with each other and mm-hmm. and study things. But also, I want to also say, even though we need that so that people can understand each other and get close, we do have enough people right now that we can start building. We have enough people who have the knowledge and the strength mm-hmm. to build. We need to start. We can't wait until we get everybody, because that we just don't have that much time no more.
Okay. Thank you for that.
The ones we already got what we need right now. The people mm-hmm. who got the knowledge need to come together and start building. Okay.
Okay.
We don't have them.
Yes.
We don't need. We got everything we want.
Okay.
Right now.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing
okay.
that.
Thank you.
Thank you,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
Any further comment regarding what she said, Brother Simon?
If not, I'll go to the next call. Yeah, just real
go
quickly.
Ahead.
She said something vital, that we have enough people right now to build, and we need
mm-hmm.
to build right away. And in most cities, if you took whatever the population is, whether it's 200,000 African people or a million, I think in Atlanta, you know, there's 4, 5, 6, 7 million African people. But if you just took calculator and said 5% or 10% of that, and if 5% of them came forward or 10% came forward and joined ULU, we could quickly get this brick and mortar as well as other things as part of the ULU, that's on the ULU agenda. But we need,
mm-hmm.
as she said, to be with each other. But move right ahead with the next caller.
Okay, I will. Okay, caller from 3440, please state your name, where you're calling from, your question or comment, please.
Yes, good evening and greetings to both of you. This is Brother Shabaka, and I'm normally would be calling from Baltimore, Maryland, but happen to be in South Florida at the time being. And I really appreciate the discussion that you all have been having, and I want to sort of reflect on a discussion that I had earlier. When just what Sister DeBoer was saying before she left about we have enough people,
mm-hmm.
and to put up these centers, we do. We spend enough, and we have enough people. But as we move on, describe for me what it would look like, or if it would be necessary, for, let me say, lack of a better word, to seek assistance in some way to expedite what we want to do from those white folks with good intentions. How do you see that, if you see that? And then, you know, give me, you know, I really want some critical feedback here because, like I said, I had a conversation a little earlier. And what is it that you really believe that we have where we don't necessarily, need to worry about assistance from outside? If you could comment on that, I would really appreciate it. And thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity to ask that question.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you so much, Brother Shabaka. And that is a good question. We have with amongst us the ability to mobilize with whatever we need, including the money, the economics, the power, intellectual capabilities. We have it, and we have the intellectual capabilities when it comes to building brick and mortar, architecture, steel and welding and all of those things. And we have the capability of bringing forth the dollars that's involved in the building. The obstacle is what has been done to us when we've been duped, tricked, deceived, and we still are in large numbers, not all of us. And so that's why, where, again, the Ulu Community Centers would be a focus point that we could begin to re-educate and bring our people back into order where more people would readily participate. And on the subject of the Europeans with good intentions, there are for real Europeans with good intentions that would contribute to our causes, and some of them would contribute, you know, from a person to person a bit. And we have had in the past where there were righteous groups of, or a righteous group, I'm thinking of one in particular, of sisters and brothers, and the Europeans came forth and made their offerings, and they actually told them, said, we will give you the opportunity to express your thoughts and what you're willing to do as long as you understand that when we say stop, we mean stop, you know, no further. And it's just like there's an event coming up next Saturday, I believe the 24th, I can't remember the exact title, but it's something. But in so many words, it was stated that those other than ourselves that support us, that this event, expressed more eloquently than I can remember what the wording was, but it was saying, you know, you just stay at home, in so many words, with your support, because this particular gathering, it just needs to be communication between us. And to finalize responding to the question about the Europeans, we have to question, as Brother Shabaka said it so well, how urgent it is for us to get together and get it in gear and be back on the high road or the high culture and high levels of success. We have to question, what are we willing to do? And in the thinking of in the words of Malcolm X, he said, by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can take the attitude, I don't have nothing to do with nothing that they bought. If they gave us $10 million, I don't want it. We don't want it. But then mm-hmm. we have to weigh that against what Malcolm said, by any means necessary. If they came and gave and they bought the Brinks truck to our location tomorrow and said, we're going to unload this truck and we're going to drive away, that's it. You're not obligated. This is no political things, Republicans and Democrats, and we ain't, you know, got our hands scratching your back and you're going to scratch ours. No. And so it's something, thank you, Brother Shabaka, that is something worthy of considering from the perspective of by any means necessary, as long as we consider it, whatever we would say, yes or absolutely not, that we always stay, that we are the ones in control of our minds and our thinking.
I think that's an interesting point you brought up, if somebody gave us a Brinks truck full of money, because then we haven't done it ourselves. If we take the money to build, we haven't built. They've built it for us. If, you know, whatever we take their resources to apply to our program, then we haven't paid for our program. They've paid for a program for us. And I think that in generally say that we say quite often, by any means necessary, but we don't really mean that. I think the European means that more than we do, because we will say things like, well, we get caught up into the good and bad thing, you know. So, like, if the evil people define what is good and what is bad, then the good people can't do evil things, but evil people can do good things for evil reasons. And so there's a lot more to think about than we even think about, you know. It's so many levels to be considered,
yes.
Which I appreciate. And all of that is, we need a place to say those kind of things, you know, not on Zoom, because Zoom is, you know, somebody else's thing. And
yes,
they don't need
to know
what you're talking about.
Yes. And so what Brother Shabaka brought forth, as well as what Sister Deborah brought forth in the Ulu
mm-hmm.
community centers, we could be this weekend or whatever, talk as
mm-hmm.
black as we want for as long as we want, and get everybody's mindset in the circle and
mm-hmm.
make a decision on whether we would ever under with firm controls on how it would happen, whether we absolutely never would, or whether
mm-hmm.
if we are firmly in control, that we could operate with clarity, as Malcolm said, by any means necessary. So
mm-hmm.
we've got to get ahead. And if we don't get ahead,
mm-hmm.
we are failing, and we are failing ourselves. We are failing the ancestors that strive to move us ahead, the ones that brought the world the first universities, the first technologies. And see, it's just like technology, it's part of our culture. But if we're not a part
mm-hmm.
of our culture, so today some brothers had a conversation, and it was saying that when we are disconnected totally from our culture, then we have no reference, we have no feelings about what we have accomplished. And so if they teach us in school that some white people in North Carolina, Kitty Hawk, had the first flight, and we believe
mm-hmm.
it, but we also believe
mm-hmm.
that they are so great that they've got the mind to do such a thing. But then if we have not looked in Africa, where it's chiseled in stone and on papyrus of helicopters, aeroplane, first flight, and that there's
mm-hmm.
places on this planet where there are high levels of mathematics was involved in laying out runways, has been there for many, many, a long, long time, hundreds of years and maybe thousands, and they know that
mm-hmm.
whoever did it could not
mm-hmm.
have done it without having been up in the sky, in the heavens, to be able to lay out those runways. And there's just
mm-hmm.
so much more. But then when we know that in the history, that they didn't teach us in history class, that as the word has been said for years and years, every time they dig up and every time they go back in the past and excavations around the world, it gets black.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
So all of this great things that we have done, and we have the capability of doing it again. Whatever our problems are, there's difficulties. But when we come together and we discuss and we make some high-level decisions, all of our problems are solvable. And there's so much more, as I said, about what Brother Shabaka said, that, and he said, let's get deep. It would be wonderful that tomorrow or Saturday we could spend some hours and let's get deep on how we go about how we make our decisions on what he was bringing forward. And another thing before we run out of time, we, with this COVID thing, and this is, again, the Ulu Cultural Centers is a place where
mm-hmm.
we could have study groups so that we could learn what they didn't teach us in history class. And we also can organize our health and research practices that would be, and so in our health and healing and research departments would be somewhere in the Ulu marketplace. But in the Ulu mm-hmm. Cultural Center is where we're going to bring the minds together to organize how we're going to use natural health and energetic means of staying well or getting well. But when we don't know, when large numbers of our people have been so duped, they know almost nothing about the higher levels of natural health as well as energetic healing. And so therefore, right. whatever comes up from day to day, they can only, their mind automatically just goes to this European model that is not natural and most of the times not energetic form of healing. And so then we're missing out. So then now what are we? We're at the mercy of them. And so we're at the mercy of others. And so if they say COVID and it's something that people have died from and you need to get the vaccine, well, is there some natural ways not to need the vaccine? Is there some mm-hmm. natural ways to get freed up and healed from the effects of what they said, what they say is COVID? And the answer mm-hmm. is yes, there is. I think,
sure.
Anyway, there's, as sisters and brothers have known for, you know, probably for hundreds of thousands of years, because Imhotep, somebody, a brother, a black man, African, that actually exists, not somebody that was just told about that didn't exist. Somebody that exists is the world's first documented, not necessarily the only, but the first documented multi-genius that was a physician and knew about herbs and plants and natural healing and architecture and engineering and astrology and so much more. He and those of the high culture like him knew mm-hmm. of so many natural and energetic means of keeping ourselves well and healing ourselves. And so if we're going to be okay, we shouldn't never be okay with staying duped to where we've got to depend on what they say about whatever, then we're not solving our own problems. And Us Lifting Us has a phrase that says, we either take control of the economics of our communities or forever be at the mercy of others. And we have to be very much out of our African mind to be okay to forever be at the mercy of others. And so if we get so-called ill or got some dis-ease, if we've got sisters and brothers that's got the capability of helping you in the Ulu, as I said, cultural centers can organize that process, sisters and brothers that know this, and then in the Ulu mm-hmm. marketplace, have in that office space, facility space, where we've got our healers that can do energetic work and the healers that would bring forth the herbs and know how to use it and prescribe them or suggest them to us, as well as we must have our own researchers that are studying these various diseases, including what they call COVID, so that we mm-hmm. can get a real, real response. And so just for an example, there's a sister. You can look her up. Her name is Dr. with 30 or 40 years experience, including some research. Her name is Dr. Velva, V-E-L-V-A, Bowles, I believe it's B-O-L-E-S, Dr. Velva Bowles. And mm-hmm. She's very receptive. And so just to give you an example, in this COVID testing, they stick mm-hmm. a swab up your nose, which is very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. so far up your nose, there's a barrier of skin. It's about a quarter inch thick. And beyond that is your blood and brain. And they have mm-hmm. stuck swabs up people's noses and punctured that blood-brain barrier and caused them some serious problems, if not, and on occasion, death. And so as right. Sister Dr. Velva Bowles got into it, she said, well, it's extremely risky, and a lot of the people, even on the nursing levels, are really not properly skilled to perform that. But then the other thing she says, the very, very wealthy, and including mm-hmm. some sports teams, they do mm-hmm. the testing with what? Spit, saliva. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. why would you swab up somebody's nose, which is insane? when you can use Salah Bit. And if you search for it in the news in China, they have bought forth, and they're trying to get other people to be duped to go for it. And this is not a joke that I'm getting ready to say. They have, and it's last Tuesday it was posted on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, but they have come up with anal or rectal testing for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that is, it's some sick stuff going on right there. You know, it goes beyond just the uncomfortable.
I think the whole...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So. There's just a long, 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 huge, huge, humongous list of things that we could accomplish in the Us Lifting Us cultural centers, and it's urgent that we do it as immediately, and tomorrow is not too soon. We can solve problems. We can organize a museum. Our people are in need of museums or places that I can't think of the term I want to use right now, but a place that can receive. So give you an example. When Dr. Ben Yohanan passed, and Dr. John Henry Clark included, they had vast amounts of books.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people similar to them that have had huge amounts of books that our community needs. And when they made their transition, or some of them when they were getting close to it, they were having difficulty finding a place where to go. But it could be coordinated through the Ulu Cultural Centers once again that we would receive those books. And because part of the Ulu Marketplace design that's been in place for a few years now is that it would also incorporate, that I mentioned earlier, a black bookstore.
Okay.
But we could have a repository, if that's the proper word, to receive donations of these books that the sister or brother, you know, is 125 years old and said, you know, I'm tired, I'm going on, I'm going to make my transition. And so will you all come pick up these books and do that? And then artwork. Why do we need artwork? As a visual that helps remind us. And just real quick, I want to say this because a lot of people probably have never heard Frances Wilson when she got into it. But she did a lecture one time some years ago. It was entitled... The Power of Crystal Black. And she brought in pictures, paintings of richly pigmented African people. And she said many African people at that time, if you went in their house, they'd have little whatnots or white images on their shelves and pictures of Kennedy and whoever, of Europeans and white Jews included. But she says that psychologically, when you walk in your house and you've got these European images, your mind, even if you don't look directly at it, sees it. She said, take that down so that your mind, even if you don't look directly at it, it gets reinforced in a positive way by having crystal black on your wall. Now, I hope that makes sense.
Right. Yes. We have another someone else on the line. Let me see if we can get them. Good evening. 8189. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your question or comment, please.
Yes, this is Z Malachi, North Carolina. Greetings, family. Man, I just wanted to say, listening to Brother Thurman talk about the things that we could do, I could listen to him all day.
Well, he's got a lot on the beam.
I can tell. It's not like you're kind of holding back. I can tell when a person was talking to their things on their mind. I can see him on the journey while he was thinking. I was like, man, we only have an hour, but I would sit and listen. We were going for 4 hours.
Yes, bro.
I want to send a special shout out to our sister Deborah, too.
Yes. Yes, brother. Thank you so much. We need to do this. We need to do this. And that's why I said it's a state of emergency, and every second that passed by and we haven't done it, we're setting ourselves up for insanity and a risk to our entire lives.
Yes, indeed.
And thank you, brother. It's so wonderful to hear you on the line and the work that you're doing for the people.
Thank you.
And Sister, you go right ahead, Sister.
No, I was going to say, so tell us how people can, not just any people, but how does one become a member of UU so that they can get on the path or the course to helping bring these UU cultural centers into effect where they live?
Yes, well, welcome all of the sisters and brothers, and make sure you pass the word to other sisters and brothers that go to www.usliftingus.com, and that's the Us Lifting Us webpage, and there you can actually get on an email and contact list to have Hulu email you and put you in contact with the various events, including the Thursday night calls. We're here every Thursday night. And if you've got questions, another way that you can also reach us, the website, you really need to go through the website, because there you can actually begin the process to sign up to become a Hulu member. And you can also email us if you've got questions at info@usliftingus.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at usliftingus.com. And it is a process. You cannot automatically become a UU member, because you have to have it verified and have to be vetted and some other things that will determine that you are actually a real live, not a robot, and a real live Black African. Because it's necessary that we do some things all together on our own, without the confusion or the deception or whatever of others. We've done too many things that did not work out well because we had too much physical involvement and whatever with others. And so we have to be, you know, and so Us Lifting Us is laid out, you know, legally, you know, to be able to do that. It's only for Black African people. And you have the opportunity to come together to join. And once you are accepted, then you would also be submitting, when you fill out the membership application that's on the website, usliftingus.com, and send in $50, which is your annual membership dues. This annual membership of $50. And all UU members have a say-so. All UU members have a vote. And all UU members, regardless of how long you've been a part of UU or anything that you contributed in terms of investments beyond membership, all only have one vote. So when you are accepted and you've already paid your $50, at that point, you have a vote when it comes to Us Lifting Us. And with that, then whatever comes up from day to day, week to week, and certainly every year at the annual members meeting and convention, you have a say-so and a vote in any new initiatives that's brought forward. And we need each other now more than ever. And I can't think of any subject area that we don't need greater clarity on. We need to get the confusion out of our minds and go back to our African way and our natural ways, our divine ways, and our ways of knowing and being connected with the universe and beyond.
Thank you for that, Brother Thurman. And with that, I want to thank everyone that joined us this evening and participated in the call. We hope you'll come back next Thursday, 9:00 Eastern Time, where we'll have another episode of Dare to Win. Thank you. Peace.
Thank you, sister.
Yeah. shining.